Okay, first thing I want to say is that love is not an ingredient. In other words, when I'm making the cake, there's flour, there's baking powder, there's milk, sometimes shortening or butter. There's ingredients in the cake. But love is not an ingredient. It is. It is everything. God is love. God is love. As you saw with the fruit of the Spirit, you saw a lot of those, all of those actually have attributes of love because God is love. So if something's not lining up in your life, because we need to make sure that whatever we do, because God's love is not an ingredient, and it is, then whatever we do, we need to make sure we have our hand on love. Love has got to be not an ingredient, but love has to be a part of whatever we're doing.
Like our motivation.
Exactly. So what happens if in your life, something you're believing God for, you may have been believing God for months, maybe years for certain things, and you're not seeing an increase in that area, or you're not seeing the full manifestation of what you were believing God for, your life is not lining up with God's word the way you know it's supposed to be. So if that is happening, check your love walk. Because a lot of people look for everything else. They, am I in sin? And then maybe I need to pray more. And a lot of times we just fail to check our love walk. And there may be one person that you just cannot stand, or there's just something there, and you need to make an adjustment. Love is that important. Love is that important.
Well, again, it's the word itself and how we've corrupted it in our own language.
Yep.
Sometimes when people think about God's love, they think of it as a feeling that that has to be present all the time. And if they don't feel love all the time, then they think they're not in love. So when they understand that it's far more than just a supernatural or superficial feeling, that it's an attitude, it is a part of the will and all these other things, then mm-hmm. they have a better understanding of whether they can even test whether they're walking in love mm-hmm. or not.
I mean, there's so many different... I mean, I grew up in a home where there wasn't a lot of demonstration of love. I knew my dad and mother loved me, but there wasn't all the...
I love you every day.
Yeah, exactly. There were 7 kids. So, not that that's a reason, but they just... when I looked at my grandmother, I thought, well... That's why, because she wasn't like that either, you know. And the other grandmother I didn't know as well, but she had 4 boys with no husband in the home. And so, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff going there either. Whereas I would look at my girlfriend's home, and they were constantly hugging and saying they loved, you know. And so I had to make the decision when I had children to make a change there, to change things up, because I didn't. Not that I faulted my mom and dad. They were doing what they knew. That's what they knew. So love is not... They still love. They just didn't... You know, we all make over babies. We all kiss them. In fact, Pat's grandmother used to say she wanted to bite their butts. And I was like shocked when I was a young mother. Because I'm like, why does she want to bite my baby's butt? But what she was saying was it was so cute... She just wanted to eat him up. But that's not what she said. But anyway, let's go to Isaiah 55.
There are fashions, though. You know, for instance, if you look at old photographs of mature people, mm-hmm. even elderly people, say from 100 years ago, no one smiled.
They never smiled.
Right.
That doesn't mean they didn't.
They weren't.
It just means that was... You never smile.
Yeah.
They looked like they were going to kill you, but they weren't going to kill you.
You mean that the man and the woman with the pitchfork?
They didn't even need a pitchfork. They just looked like
that. Was also true, though, in the family.
Yeah.
Parents love their children every bit as much as they do today. Probably more so. Mm-hmm. But it was not something that you shared way.
Yeah.
Not demonstrable.
But I actually got to the point as a teenager where I said to my mother, do you love me? And she was shocked because she was like, why are you even asking that? Of course I love you. But
yes,
she just didn't.
Sure, it's assumed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 8. And we know this verse, and we have, you know, linked it with faith, linked it. But we're going to link it today with forgiveness and unforgiveness. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Why are his thoughts higher? Can anybody think?
Because he's divine and we're not.
Okay, what about Jesus then? Okay, we'll go. We'll take it to Jesus, who came as the Son of Man. So why are his thoughts? Why are his thoughts higher?
They weren't corrupted.
Okay,
They were God's thoughts. He said he didn't have any thoughts of his own.
Okay, and so here he's doing everything out of love. Is what I'm getting at. We have
selfish
emotions,
motives.
We have feelings, and so when people do things sometimes, we're not always there for unforgiveness. We have, you know, we even have a phrase in the world that says, that's unforgivable. You know, that should not be in the church. That phrase should not be in the church, because God doesn't say that's unforgivable, except the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. But because of his love, we get tangled up in our emotions. And we also, my dad was all big about fair. Everything had to be fair. We are very fair-minded. And so if it doesn't look fair to us, even on someone else's account, if it doesn't look fair, then we can even take up somebody else's offense. Like say your husband or your wife tells you about something that happened to them. They may be long past it and already forgiven, and you're holding on to it because you heard it. My husband is very wise. He doesn't tell me any of that stuff because then I don't have to make that choice, you know? I don't have to choose to walk in love, and I don't need to know. Why would I need to know, you know, stuff like that? So let's do this his way. So forgiveness is love. It was an ultimate act of love of God when he sent Jesus, when God sent Jesus. It was an ultimate act of love. So we can't really get away from forgiveness, nor should we want to. We all want it. It should be our way of life, and we're to be more like him. The problem comes when something happens and we feel we were in the right, or we didn't do anything to deserve that, or whatever, and this is emotions or pride or whatever, and we feel they should ask us for forgiveness. But here's the thing. We're the child of God. We're to be acting like him. And he acted in forgiveness before we even were here. Because he sent Jesus, looked ahead, and sent Jesus, and had decided already he's walking in forgiveness. So we have no excuse. Do we get plenty of opportunities to walk in unforgiveness?
Every day.
Several
times a day.
Yes.
You said about Billy Brim, and it reminded me of the story she tells of her husband. It's always with her husband, who is now in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, that's why God puts those people in our lives. The closest to us are the ones that we have to forgive every day.
Yep, yep. She had made a big pot of chili for him or whatever, and he liked crackers with his chili. And and she drove to town to get the crackers, and I think it also gave her time to cool down. But the thing is, we get so offended over little things sometimes. You know, we have opportunities. There's always
perceived
opportunities.
Offenses.
Some perceived, some actual. Some actual on purpose stab you in the back.
Well, with her comment, I just said, my husband's not that bad, and then Jeff forgets. Sometimes I have to forgive Dad every 3 seconds. Maybe he is. I don't know.
You know what? The eye of the beholder, too. Because I've seen people, I get offended before they do for them. Because I don't believe he said that to them. Yeah.
It's just me and my dad when I try quoting to him.
Oh. Okay. Okay. We need, and here is the bottom line. We need to realize and get revelation on what we've been forgiven of. And if we get a handle on that, And if we get a handle on how much God loves us, see, the problem is a lot of people, and we're going to look at an example in the Word, a lot of people have been forgiven of a lot, but they don't count it of any value. And what value you place on it is the important thing. So, you know, for someone to say, yesterday, my grandson called his sister a cheater. And his sister's like 5, and he's 8. And I said, you go sit in the chair, because you got to quit calling names, because he called cheater and he called liar. And so I was done. And so he went and sat in the chair, and I said to him, I have not seen any remorse. I have not seen any, I'm sorry. And I said, do you want me to get your sister? And he said, yes. And so as soon as, you know, I had said that to him, but, you know, have you ever said, I have not seen any of your sorry, and they go, sorry. Well, do you really think they're sorry? Or they're saying sorry to get out of the chair?
Well, they say, because I'm not sorry. I can sit here all day, so thank you.
Oh. No, I haven't had anyone do that. My son, my one son. Yeah.
Not that type.
I have found
a bunch of things found. I have found something that has worked for me for many years, and recently discovered that it's not the right way to do it. I have used Jesus' comment on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But there's arrogance in that.
Yeah.
There's self-righteousness in that. Not in Jesus.
No. And we will use that actually comment in this study.
Because
it's a good thing. But forgiveness is an act of love. It's something that you do. It's a verb. And it's something that you do. So let's look at the story in Luke 7. Yeah.
And we're going back.
You know, there's only so many chapters in the Bible. We're bound to come back to some of them more than one.
Luke 6. We're now in Luke
7. Luke 7:40. Well, I was here many times over the last few days. Luke 7, verse 40. And Jesus, replying to him, said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Teacher, say it. And so he told him a story about a certain lender of money at interest had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. When they had no means of payment, he freely forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I take it. For whom he forgave and canceled more. And Jesus said to him, you have decided correctly. This is a matter of the heart. Forgiveness is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the money amount. And that's not, you know, what Jesus was saying is, you've decided correctly that because there was more to forgive, that he should love more. But we look at it and go, well, he owed more, you know, he owed more money. It has nothing to do with the monetary amount. It has to do with the amount of what he's forgiving. We need to look at this not monetarily. So Jesus told Simon that he had judged right. What was Simon's answer to the question?
I suppose so.
Yeah. He said, the one I take it whom
Sorry.
He forgave. Yeah. So.
But that is also true, though. In the other story that he tells about, it's the parable where
we're going there. We're going there. Here's Beth, as I am with my husband. Anyway, do you know that Jesus has already wiped all the slates clean? He's wiped them clean, but we still have to receive it. And that's an area of forgiveness that I'm going to touch on today, is that just because he wiped the slate clean, he paid the price, doesn't mean that we've all received what he has for us, that forgiveness. Even people that are born again, you know, some people have this testimony of, I was in a motorcycle gang, I murdered two, I'm just pulling things out of my head. I murdered two people, you know, I was this hard person on drugs, and they have this horrible, or great, no matter which way you look at it, testimony, whereas, like, I grew up in a Christian home, and I had godly parents, thank God, But I have not, like, this huge testimony of, you know, he delivered me from this and he delivered me from that. But the thing is, it may look like that person that had did the drugs and killed the people got forgiven of so much more, but I was forgiven as well, because sin is sin. And so just because I rolled my skirts and did things that my mother or father had no idea I was, doesn't mean that it was so much lesser of a sin. God looks at it and says, sin is sin. It's not a white lie, it's a lie, you know. And we have this way of looking at sin. And so I think sometimes, but what happens in that, when you grow up in a Christian home, or when you don't think you've, I've been a good girl, you don't value the forgiveness that is available.
You don't think
Jesus
it's necessary.
Well, probably necessary.
You don't have anything to be forgiven of.
Right. And I've heard so many people go, I was a good person.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. You know. Yeah.
But one
never
drop
did.
Of food coloring in the glass changes the water just as much as the entire bottle.
True.
Plus, so sin is sin. Even one little sin was enough that you were a goner.
Yeah.
Plus,
you missed the mark.
Yeah.
If someone who isn't a Christian thinks, like, well, I'm a good person, if they have that kind of attitude and they really believe it, then they're a lot less likely to be receptive to the message. Because they're going to think they don't need it.
They don't think they need it.
That's
exactly true. Yep.
And that's the point that was made in that parable.
So let's go to verse 44, where we'll pick up. Because when we have and receive forgiveness, remember what it does. It not only saves us, it heals us, it redeems us. So in verse 44, it says, then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the moment I came in, she has not ceased intermittently to kiss my feet tenderly and caressingly. You did not anoint my head with cheap ordinary oil, but she has anointed my feet with costly, rare perfume. Truly I tell you, her sins, many as they are forgiven her because she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Your value on forgiveness makes you love little. And it's not that you don't love. You hear people go, well, I love God. I know God. I love God. But what you're not seeing, and we're talking about fruit again, you don't see the relationship because they really don't have an understanding. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying there are people out there that really don't have an understanding of what happened on the cross in their case. He who has been forgiven little loves little. This woman had been forgiven a lot. And so she was she trying to buy God's love?
No.
No. She was just showing her gratitude and her thankfulness. She was so thankful for the forgiveness that she had this costly, rare perfume. And used it on Jesus. So another way of saying this would be your value you place on what you are forgiven will decide how forgiving you are. And that really is the crux of the matter. Because if you don't place a lot of value on being forgiven, then you're not going to be very forgiving. You're not going to be a very forgiving. In fact, you end up, most of those people are judgmental. They're God. They're supposed to be in the kingdom of God, but they're very judgmental. Time, yes.
In my version, he even says, I came into your house. So in the process of saying what she's done for him, he's almost pointing out Peter's.
Well, he was pointing it out.
Yeah.
He was. He was like, you get this.
I came into your house.
Yeah.
You didn't do any of this for me.
Yeah. And not to be condemning. He's pointing out because I don't know that he noticed.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, my parents wouldn't, maybe they did, I don't know, but I wouldn't think they would have noticed that I was needing those hugs and the words, you know, because they just didn't, they didn't know, being the way they were.
The water for the feet he didn't give, that was traditional even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was expected to do it, and he even missed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's just common courtesy is what he's saying. Common courtesy you didn't even extend to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she went above and beyond.
Do you think that maybe there was the, what the other curse is, the air of familiarity, too? He had been with him.
Yeah.
Like, if my mother-in-law comes in, and I had to correct myself with this. She came to our church, so of course I saw her every week. We would go to his grandmother's for dinner. She would be there. We saw her, we lived in Everett, so, you know, we saw her two or three times a week. So I would find, if we were a church, that I was finding I wasn't going over and giving her a hug and saying good morning, because she's my mother-in-law, and I had other people that I needed to get to. And then I realized, Holy Spirit said, why are you leaving her out? You know, not on purpose. It was the air of familiarity. And I'm sure that it was the same with, you know, he's with Jesus. And it's not that he didn't think Jesus was all that. He just was familiar with him. Whereas
like
she was so, but she was so fresh, passionate about what he had done for her, that she did this. So time makes us forget some of the things that we need to remember. And I'm not saying remember condemnation, but we forget, like even when God does something for you, say it was years ago, maybe 5 years ago, when he first does something stupendous, you are so over the top telling everyone, you know? And then 5 years down the road,
even remember it.
Well, it says that's why we're to rehearse the things that he does, because we just kind of tuck it away, you know, and the same thing happens here. We forget some of the things that we need to remember, such as remembering where we did not go because of him, where we are not now because of him. And we have a tendency to think, you know, like we were always in this place, and we were not. So what value do you place on this forgiveness? In verses 44 through 47, this woman, she was forgiven much. She was forgiven much. So she was thanking him. She was showing her love and appreciation. She was not paying him back. We can't get forgiveness by paying for it. Although I think some of the Catholics, I think that's how they...
Right.
We do not get forgiveness by paying for it, not for ourselves or for somebody else.
Well, do you think, too, it's kind of the difference between someone walking up and giving you $10 on a Sunday for gas that day? You would be like, thank you so much, that was really nice of you to do. But somebody else coming up and paying off your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even though to both of them it could be, like, minimal in their eyes.
Yeah.
Because
there could be
even a millionaire that did that.
Mm-hmm.
But to you, a lot of times you just take it as being so much more, even though proportionally, I mean, they still did for you.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, that's how, even with what you put in the offering with God, even the woman with the two mites, you know, because it was what she had, you know, she, you know.
Yeah, nobody can outgive that.
So like, God certainly remembers and is watching and seeing that, and that was an honor. Her story is in the word. So we want to be a forgiving people. This is all God's heart. That's who he wants us to be. We're going to go to Mark 11. We all know that.
I do.
Mark 11:23. It's like the trademark here. Mark 11. But we're in 22 to 25. Jesus, replying, said to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason I am telling you, that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. We have been over these as regarding faith a lot, but look at the next verse. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father, who's in heaven, may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. If you are in unforgiveness, you are not in love. And that's a hard you know, people, there are some people that are very loving in every other aspect, but maybe one or two people, because they have this wall in their heart that they may have feel they may feel they have been wronged, whatever, but they have built up this wall.
They may have been wrong.
And they may have been, but Jesus, my gosh, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They whipped him for what? There was not even a good reason for it. And he forgave. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know. So he put this right after. This verse came right after.
Victory.
He's telling them about praying in faith. Why is this here? There's a reason.
Because unforgiveness
you can't operate
wants
faith if you're in unforgiveness.
Love.
Yeah.
Faith works by love. If you're in unforgiveness, you're not in love. And it may be with one person, but you've got to get that taken care of. So he said, his love is shed abroad in our hearts. So he gave us the ability. We can do this. We have to tap into it, but we can do this. So we need to understand forgiveness and then receive it in love. When we have something against our brother, ought, it says, or sister, it takes us out of love, and then it takes us out of the position that we are supposed to be in to receive from God. So I don't think we realize how important it is to be staying in forgiveness and love. That's why this is a walk. This is a way of life. So go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15. Chapter 6. And especially verses 14 and 15. But we're going to read from verse 9. Anybody recognize this passage?
The Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
It's not the room Lord's Prayer.
The model prayer.
Oh, I got the 9 and 6 backwards.
There you go.
He's like, what?
I went to Matthew chapter 9,
verse 6.
Oh,
nope. Pray therefore like this. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven, left, remitted, and let go of the debts, and have given up resentment against our debtors. And lead us, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive people, look at 14 and 15, if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, one thing that keeps prayer from coming to pass is unforgiveness. When we were working at CBN, Pat's sister, the one of the twins, came to live with us. She had gotten out of high school, and she wanted to get away, and she came down to live with us. Well, we were struggling because we were working for CBN, which was quite in the fledgling state, and they had to create a job for Pat, and so we quite often did not have quite enough. And so we were living in this house. I had two children, was pregnant with the third one. And his sister came, and then she got engaged to what is now her husband. And she borrowed $70. Not a huge amount. Back then it was a little bit better amount, but it's not a huge amount. And so she said, as soon as I get it, I'm working, I'll get it back to you, but I need it. I forget even what it was for. But do you know, because we went through some struggles there for about a year, because it was about that time that we had decided that we were leaving CBN. I was pregnant. I came home and had April. Went back for a couple months, and then and then we moved back up here. And so anyway, we had financial need. And so that $70 became like this huge thing in my head, because I spent it about 100 times of how I could use that money right now. And what it did is it became, and like he was talking about here, resentful. I was becoming resentful over this $70, which the girl was single and didn't have a way to actually bring it in. But until God got hold of me and said, you are allowing this to block you. This is unforgiveness. And so I had to, and we never did, she probably forgot about it, and we never did see that, but I'm free of it, and I don't have any resentment toward her at all. And so, but I'm saying it can cost you, you know, it can block you from your prayers being answered. So you've got to watch that. If you are a very forgiving person, you know, you are very forgiven. We're all different. We receive differently. Some of us, it doesn't take much at all. Just like with our kids when we're raising them. You know, I had one daughter, you just raise your voice a little bit and you know, tears, repent. Yeah. The other one of them at least, two of them, you had to come after them and discipline hard. They just didn't. So, just like that, you know, we have a tendency, some of us are very, very forgiving and look at the other person's side of things. And I have noticed that when we go after this, when we want to be that forgiving, when we know that God, that's God's will for us, is to walk in forgiveness all the time, that you tend to be able to look at the other person's side of it. When you're not, you only see your side. There's no other side of it, and you are very unforgiving and very judgmental. And so we want to be the person that is forgiven by God, and we know what that means. And so therefore, we're very quick to forgive those around us, because that keeps us open. Yeah.
Isn't these last two verses or sets of verses saying that if we don't forgive, the Father doesn't forgive us, it can affect our salvation either?
Yeah, if you
miss out on eternity because of forgiveness.
Salvation, you know that salvation covers a lot of things. Salvation is heaven. It's also our healing. And I've seen so many people that have not been forgiving, and they're all twisted up with arthritis.
Yeah.
And just different things. Or they get these migraines that are just horrible. And it's like they won't go, they can't go. You know, they've been prayed for how many times? But the problem isn't that. It's the unforgiveness. It's that root.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's...
You've seen migraines connected to unforgiveness.
Yeah, there's a lot of sicknesses.
Arthritis. Your body releases, like when you're happy and stuff, your body releases certain chemicals that encourage your body to do well. And whenever you're holding like resentfulness, right, unforgiveness and hatred and different things towards people, you're constantly releasing those bad chemicals, yeah, and it's going to affect every cell in your body.
Yeah. Well, they say even fear, you know, when you hear the cancer word, you know, and then you walk in fear, you got that chiropractor. Yeah. He said it wasn't his patient was the daughter who had cancer. But the mother, after the daughter was pronounced free and clear, the mother, he gets a phone call, she was in the hospital because the stress had gotten to her. And then she, you know, she was healthy before, but the stress she let get to her. So, yeah.
Actually, unforgiveness is bondage.
It is bondage. It binds you up.
And that's why, you know, whether you care for somebody or don't care for them, you should forgive them anyway, just for your own sake.
Well, this is how Jesus operated. He walked in forgiveness. He walked in it. Even before the thing occurred. Which, if you are ready to do that, how easy is it then when something happens to say, I forgive him. You know. So
I have a testimony about that. When we first started our business, it took me a while. When somebody would make a reservation and then they would either cancel at the last minute or sometimes they just wouldn't even show up.
Mm-hmm.
That would just
Yeah, it's not.
It was like rudeness to me, you know, and that just, and finally, the Lord just said, it's hurting you.
Yeah, they're gone with it.
He said, get over it and just make this decision that it happens.
Yeah.
You know, you say to yourself, these things happen.
Yeah.
It happens to me, it happens to you, it happens to everybody. And that's the only way you can just, and then it just rolls off your back.
Yeah, and the danger, now keep in mind, with any of these classes, the danger is that we come in and we go, boy, so-and-so ought to hear this, you know, because we all know people that are walking in unforgiveness. But if we don't apply it to our own selves, it's of no benefit. It doesn't help us. If we're constantly thinking, oh, so-and-so needs to hear this, they need to start walking.
When we walk into any of these classes, we should come in with the attitude I need to hear.
Right, because it will change your life and my life. So can we get to that place where forgiveness is in place before the thing has ever happened?
Well, obviously we can if Jesus did it, because
we can.
We have the same tools.
So what is this this expression that the world has of that's unforgivable?
Entitlement.
Yeah. When do they usually say that? I mean, what's unforgivable?
A personal offense, usually.
Usually an unfair.
Something that's gone over the line in your judgment. That's over.
What is that line?
You know, they say over the top, over the line, this
especially
is unforgivable.
Especially if it caused some kind of harm.
So people have a list in their head of what is forgivable.
I will put up with this.
And then what isn't. You know, it's the line in the sand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, forgiveness isn't putting up with something, though. It's forgiving.
It is forgiving, but in our heads, we're like, I can deal with this. But if they go there, then that's it. Yes.
We're still going to be a little bit, right?
What?
Yeah, go to the bathroom if you have to.
Oh.
I was starting to fall asleep.
Oh! Do you need me to throw stuff at you? we do this level to level. We learn, like Pat was saying, we grow in this. You know, you're not going to all of a sudden be like Jesus and something happens, but what you are going to be is aware. You will be aware once you've heard this. You're like, this is an opportunity. I can walk in unforgiveness or I can walk in forgiveness. And walking in forgiveness sometimes, especially, I mean, it's almost like they spit in your face sometimes, but you can walk in forgiveness. What does that get you?
Peace.
Freedom.
Forgiveness from the Father.
Forgiveness, and it pleases Him when we're like Him, when we choose the right way, when we choose to do things.
And it causes your relationship with Him to grow, too.
It does.
You're focusing on Him instead of everything else around
you. And it keeps the wall down. Like, we put walls up because of that unforgiveness thing that we do, and it keeps our prayers. How many times in here we've read right before, and you shall ask whatever you ask in my name, because we're keeping that wall of forgiveness down so that we will be forgiving. So if we try and do this in the natural, the thing is, there's no revelation of God's love. When I was, I at least told it to the ladies that come to my Bible study, but when my mother had a baby, she had two babies at home, the last two. And, of course, we were in the bed, you know, we are hearing things that we probably shouldn't have heard. But, so the next day, I was a little concerned about my mother, because this was the first one she had at home. So that would have been, I would have been about 10 or 11. And so all four of us girls, rather than two in the room and two in our room, we were all in one room. For comfort, I think. But anyway, my dad just said, go in there and go sleep. And so we're in there. We're not sleeping because we're hearing things. And so I wanted to make sure my mom was okay. However, my grandmother had said, nobody enters this room. Nobody enters this room. So she was downstairs, and I walked in just far enough to get past the little hallway and said, Mom, are you okay? My grandmother, guess what, came up the steps and found me, and she lowered the boom, and she goes, I can't trust you. You're coming home with me when I leave, and not that day, but the next day, you're coming home with me. I can't trust you to not go in there. Well, I held that, even at 10 or 11 years old, I thought she was so unfair. I thought she was just so hard, you know, that she did not understand this little girl. And I was probably early 20s before the Lord said, you know, you have to forgive her. Because I'd tell that story and I'd embellish, you know, not embellish, but I made her out to be the bad person. And I realized that although I thought I had forgiven, I was trying to do it in the natural and I wasn't able to do it because I thought it was terribly unfair of her that she didn't know the whole thing and that she was not very compassionate. But in the spiritual, and it wasn't until I gave it to him and I said, Father, I thought I did, but I was able to then forgive her. And, you know, we had a great relationship. But God's love is a spiritual force born into us. We have it in us. So we can't say, I just can't do it. We can't do it in the natural, but we can do it in the spiritual. In the spirit, we can forgive before our flesh. And this is what happens. Our flesh rises up and it gets angry and it says, don't you dare forgive her. Or don't you dare forgive them. They should come and ask you for forgiveness. If you're walking in the spirit and you know that you don't want to be in unforgiveness, you can get to the point where you've already forgiven them before your flesh has a chance to say, don't do it. It's not right. You're a doormat. What are you doing? You know? And so we want to be that person that's already chosen the forgiveness route. Because a lot of it is, especially in the church, a lot of it is people not doing it on purpose. They're saying something never meaning to, you know, hurt anyone. But we're so prickly sometimes, we take things the wrong way. And so I find that a lot of times, you know, they never meant to do it and they wouldn't even know that you were hurt. You know, it says to go to the person. Well, my mother explained this to me when I was a teenager. She goes, if they are aware that you have something against them and you have been hateful towards them or ignoring them or whatever, then you need to go to them. But if it's all been on your side, for you to go to them at that point, then they're like, what did I do? Oh, I'm going to have to be careful from now on, you know. It
accomplishes nothing.
No, it doesn't.
There,
so,
perfect.
You okay?
There you go.
You all right? Do we need to pray? Or is he the Holy Spirit just?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. What can we do? Can we do something?
I'm just had to forgive a friend 2 years ago who really humiliated and embarrassed my daughters in front of a lot of people. And she and I reconciled this year, our relationship, and then just recently, I just about had these feelings towards her. It's like, I didn't feel, because we've talked on the phone a couple times, and I mean, we were really close friends.
Mm-hmm.
I brought her to church here a few times. And so when we split, it was pretty severe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that she did anything to me, but she so hurt my kids.
Yeah.
And anyhow, we were at letters to each other, and she was so angry at the things that she was saying about the girls were not true. And they were just really innocent kids, and she was accusing them of things that they didn't do. We weren't even thinking of doing it. But she wrote a letter to me and said all this, and I gave it 2 weeks to reply, so I was not angry when I wrote back.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, this year we reconciled, we agreed, we forgave each other. But just here recently, I just feel like she should apologize to the girls. And I just kind of like hooked on to that part.
Well, this is this thing. Sometimes it comes back up in your head. I mean, it will, because...
Well, she hasn't done that, you know? No. I can't put that condition on it.
Right, right, right. You can't. Because otherwise, then you're resentful, really, is like how I was.
And
you're resentful.
Myself putting the wall up.
Mm-hmm. And it's harder, sometimes it's harder when they attack your own family than they do you. You know, because you figure you're big, you can deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and, yep.
And I've been having some bad headaches, so that's why I asked that question.
Mm-hmm. It manifests in our body many different ways. And that's why I said, if something's not working out the way God said, like he paid for our healing, he paid for us to have no lack. If you know that and you're standing on that and it's not manifesting, check your love walk, because that can be holding out bottleneck.
Yeah, and one other thing that can be happening that does happen, I think, in our minds a lot, is we create for ourselves, out of our pride, standards mm-hmm. that we hold other people to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they cross the line, we feel that we have a right to judge that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's all in our own...
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with God. It's not submitted to God. It's our pride operating. And saying in our mind, this is how we're going to live our life.
Mm-hmm.
We will keep it within those standards. But when other people go beyond that, then they're in fault. And so we then have to decide, am I going to forgive them or am I going to hold them to account?
Yeah. I think it's always so much happens within a marriage. Because we have standards that we set on our mates mm-hmm. as to what they should be saying mm-hmm. or doing and what they should not. But also best friends. I mean,
yeah.
that Satan hits and they are where...
A friend should be X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
if they're not, then they've gone over the line and, you know, there's a limit to my friendship.
Well, I think we expect expectations... I know I certainly did. Getting married, I had, you know, like I said, none of those came true. I was going to live in Hawaii. I was going to have a maid. I was going to marry somebody that was younger than me. I was 16.
Sorry, I'm loving
none of them came true. But I got the guy that God had for me that was best for me.
Uh-huh.
And I love him. But I didn't know then. 16 years old, I didn't know what I was supposed to be looking for at all. I had this romantic notion. And I think we do that with our friends and our mates. We have... I was never going to be seen with curlers in my hair because, you know, you don't do that to your husband. But that was back before the curling iron, you know. but see, we have expectations. But we need to understand expectations are not. We have to peg it for what it is. And if it's unforgiveness, it needs to go out of our
yeah.
lives because it's going to cripple you. And especially if she has no idea, she may think everything's fixed now, you know.
Yeah.
And you may expect an apology for your daughters. Did they know what happened? They did. Well,
yeah.
courtesy says that she probably should. But if you hang up on that, and if you just, you know, you're going to be spinning your wheels and getting
yeah.
resentment, and
it'll get worse.
Make
somebody do
something. No, you can't. It has to be given. And she may not understand forgiveness totally either.
She doesn't even know I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
She thinks we're still just fine.
Yeah.
So this just happened.
Well, you have
just
to.
Just over the last few
years. Yeah, you just have to give it to God and say, you know what, Father? Like that $70. She owed it to me. But
so
I had to let... No, I've forgiven
no,
it.
She's settled
that. I've forgiven it, and I don't...
God has replaced it abundantly.
Yes, he has.
But the
yes,
enemy
he
will come in, and
he
he'll
will.
Keep reminding
yep.
you and reminding you and reminding you
oh, sure.
until you rebuke him.
Yes,
you...
That's the thing. You
a
have
A lot
to.
Of things I try to instill in Jeff, like, you can't control what other people do to you. You can't control the behavior and what they do. All you have control over is your response to things.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, like, we have God to help us with that. But, like, even when he had that lice... That Saturday night, he told me, Mom, shave my head. Well, I shaved his head. Well, obviously, he has none, like, at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sent the email to the school telling them, you know, that it was found and all that because you should alert them. And I said to him before he went back to that after three class, I said, listen, the kids are going to know. And I said, and some might be mean to you. You had it. There ain't nothing you can do about it. It's the way it is. It's a fact. It was done. And, you know, just let it roll. I said, don't argue, don't fight, let it roll. And the same thing's with that. If your daughters know they didn't do anything, this is a life lesson.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the world is not going to come up and apologize to you, like, quote unquote, they should.
Yeah.
But how they deal with it, they can learn to release it, and you can teach them how to let that go.
Well, already said to me, she said, it doesn't matter if she apologizes to me or not.
She makes an excellent point, because that's the one thing we want to champion for our kids, you know.
The thing that bugs me is that she does she acknowledge to them, you know, how she mistreated them? Because I told her when we were doing the letters back and forth, I said, as long as I've been her friend, I've never done anything to hurt her kids the way that she did mine.
Well, but here's the thing. She may never get to that point. But if you release that, she also may, God may work on her heart, and you may get something. You may not, but you have to be okay either way.
In the meantime, look what it's doing to you.
Yeah. We don't want you all bound up. Not at all. Not at all.
Oh, the headaches have been horrible.
Well, that's something we know that the Word of God works, correct? That the healer is Jesus. But there are things, like we said, there are things that can stop the healing. So now you know, just take it to Him. That's something I can't pray over you for. That's something, you know, that you and God can take care of and get it done. Yeah.
We'll edit.
He's good at that. He's good at that.
Sorry. Billy Joe, that's what's supposed to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
These classes are supposed to bring things out in us that
they're not supposed to be.
That's why we're here, to learn and to grow in it.
And you are not the only one. It's just that it moved on your heart and it came out, and I just happened to bring attention to it.
Like, God makes good come out of everything. So look at it this way. Now that you know, and like she said, you know, talk to God about it and work with it. What an example that would be for your girls and for them to get it. Like, my goal is, there are some things I didn't get into way later in life.
Yep.
But to be able to show that example to Jeff and to instill that in him early, so even if he doesn't totally get it, when a situation arises, that can still come to him. And it can help him deal with that down the road. And your girls can see.
And this could be an example to your girls of how you deal with it.
I think sometimes we, like I said, we try to shelter them. And then they don't learn. They think everything's perfect. My mother and father never fought in front of us. I mean, they didn't even raise their voices. So I thought, when you got married, first of all, you had to marry someone that was born on the same day you were, because they were. I was very naive. And second of all, there was no fighting. There was no arguing. There were no conflicts. And that was so not real, because you have two different people living in the same house. You're going to have difference of opinion, and you're going to have to work at trying to find a resolution. So it's good for them to see their parent walking in the Word of God and dealing with things, so that they see that's something they need to see. So,
is your friend a Christian? One thing to remember, too, is she is probably not where you are.
Right.
That's hard, too, when you have a friend.
Yeah.
Like, if you're on different levels and something happens, they may not get it.
Oh, she has a hard time seeing how she's offended a lot of people.
Well, this may be part of the process, you know, in her. And you can still pray for her to have open. Not so that everything will be fixed with your kids, but so that she can grow in this as well.
Yes.
So, if we just, I'm going to say it anyway. He'll take your hurt and your baggage, and he'll give you his peace and love, because that's what he does. If we decide to
receive it.
Right. But if we decide to hold on to it, what do we get?
We hurt ourselves. And we get his unforgiveness.
And what happens, usually? It may start small. It may be just a niggling little thing.
Can you turn to one of the bitter old Christians that nobody wants to be, and everybody younger looks at him and thinks, my God, I don't want to be
what
that
happened?
Yeah.
I said to Pat, when we first got married, I was like, what is wrong with those? Like, I'd see older couples and the way they talk to each other. I mean, they were sniping at each other, and they were just hateful towards each other. And I'm like, of course, we just got married, so we're all we're like, yeah. I was like, what could have happened to them to get them to that state? But I can look around now and see people my age that are doing that already, you know? Because what happens is the little things, they start to build up, and then you start, and once you start, you know, it's hard to take words back once you've said them.
You
get into the habit of doing that. And this, just remember, this is your person that you chose to spend the rest of your life with, that you love, you know. So inside, in-house, we need to make sure we're in forgiveness. And if you can do it there, you should be able to do it out there.
Yes, you can do it at home.
Yeah, yeah. Our trademark as born-again believers is supposed to be love and forgiveness. And if the world's looking at us, and it does, it sees Christians fighting all the time and walking in unforgiveness, and they don't like it. They know it's not supposed to be like that. Now, what, you know, how they see the standard, and we're not. Matthew chapter 18.
Oh,
almost done. Yeah. Matthew chapter 18. How many times are we supposed to forgive?
A bunch. And endlessly, actually.
And let me tell you something. If you're counting and you say that's 49 times that I forgave them, guess what? Your heart is not in the right spot. Because you're counting.
I don't have the patience to count 49 either.
Plus, because you need to do it 70 more times.
You've expanded your standard.
You have issues.
Well, like God does, you know. He says, okay, I'm going to judge you now, and then he keeps moving the data.
Yeah. You know? Yep. That's the thing. You know, if we're counting, and usually it's like, look how long-suffering I am. Because I have forgiven them how many times? Let's see, there was all last year, and then, yeah, you know, and if you're counting, you've got
and
it.
You've just exalted yourself to a position that you're not a God.
Yeah.
You really never forgave
yeah.
many people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're looking how much I've put up with. Yeah, yeah. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter comes up to him and says, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me, and I forgive him and let it go? As many as seven times? He's thinking he's being big. As many as seven times? And Jesus answered him and said, I tell you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. So God chooses not to remember our sins. In Jeremiah, I'm not going to go there right now, but if you want to write down Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34, and it's repeated in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 11 and 12.
Wait, he says, what was the chapter?
Which one?
Jeremiah.
The Old Testament or Jeremiah?
You're going pretty fast on that.
31, verses 33 and 34.
Okay.
And then Hebrews chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. He says, I will... This is when he makes the new covenant. I will remember their iniquities no more. No more. He chose. So we are able to move forward and forgive some things that the human race would call unforgivable. If someone raped you and you had a child that you did not plan on having, kudos to you for, first of all, having it, because some of people tell them to get it aborted. But then, can you forgive the rapist? You know, the world says you don't have to. That was done to you unfairly, unjustly. You know, that's one of those unforgivable things. Or I've heard, I don't know anyone by, you know, personally, but I have heard stories of people that their daughter or their son was murdered, and eventually they were able to go to the prison and forgive that very person that murdered their son or daughter. Naturally, you can't do that if you loved your daughter or son. But in God, you can.
When you and I look at fairness, how fair is it to God that we keep doing things to him?
Yeah.
He did nothing to deserve it.
Yeah, but we think he has big shoulders. He's
but even
God.
With big shoulders, it's still unfair.
I know, people it's unfair. Yeah, well, we don't think of that.
What about the example several years ago when the children of that Amish group were murdered in their school,
yeah.
and the entire congregation went and forgave.
Yep, yep.
That was a wonderful example at a national level. And then another one much earlier was when Pope Paul was shot.
Oh.
And he went into the prison and forgave the shooter.
Yep. Yeah, now it can be done. It can be done. God does not put levels on sin. They are all redeemable. The blood of Jesus is very strong and big enough. No person is beyond his love. Matthew 18, this is the last story that we need to look at. Well, we're going to go to Matthew 18 a little further along. 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. When he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, probably about $10 million. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything he possessed, and payment to be made. So the attendant fell on his knees, begging him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And his master's heart was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him and canceled the debt. What did the man ask him to do?
Have patience. Just give me more time and I'll pay you.
So what did the king do?
Forgave him forever.
He gave him more than he asked. He not only forgave him, he didn't send him to prison. He didn't sell off his wife and children. He forgave him. And it says he released him, forgave him, canceled the debt. But that same attendant, now in those verses, did you see anywhere where the guy rejoiced?
No.
Was happy?
No.
Thankful? Okay, but that same attendant, as he went out, not too long time went by there, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $20, and he caught him by the throat and said, "Pay what you owe." He was very judgmental here. So his fellow attendant fell down, said the same thing, begged him earnestly, "Give me time and I'll pay you all." But he was unwilling and he went out, had him put in prison till he should pay his debt. Now, his fellow attendant saw what was going on and thought it was very unfair. So they went and they told the king, the master. And the master called him and said to him, "You contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me. Should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you?" And in wrath, because he's now angry, the master turned him over to the jailers, they said, my Bible says the torturers, till he should pay all that he owed. So also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. In verse 26 and 27, it talks about compassion. Compassion is love in action. It is a verb. It is something that you do. This is a love word. The king did more than what the man asked him to do. And in this king's mind, at this point, that man did not owe him anything. He had forgiven it all. Now let's take a closer look at the man. I already asked you, did he, you know, rejoice? Did he say thank you? No. As a matter of fact, when he found the guy that owed him pennies on the dollar, really, of what he owed, he grabbed him by the throat. He put zero value on forgiveness. Or there would have been something here that said, how many times have we seen the lepers went rejoicing? How many times have we seen the emotions that happened as a result, the thankfulness, the gratitude? Nothing. There's nothing written here for this. He put zero value on forgiveness. He said, "Pay me what you owe me." Unforgiveness always wants justice. Always wants justice. It's not free and loose. Very rigid. If you're acting angry, you don't have a forgiving heart. And it's not always easy. I mean, like Billy Joe knows, it's not always easy. It's not easy. But we can choose to forgive. Every time it comes to your mind, because it will come to your mind. You know, the devil doesn't want you to be free and forgiving. When it comes to your mind, you choose not to walk in unforgiveness because you know how much you're forgiven of and how much God loves you. So this guy had a debt that he could not pay. There's a song like that. I had a debt I could not pay. He was a taker. Takers feel like they deserve it. We know people in the world like that they deserve it. So forgiveness only wants to hear that you want to be forgiven. All we're waiting for is that you want to be forgiven, that you're desiring to be forgiven. Did the prodigal son's father have to hear all the junk that he went through? No, he was actually waiting, looking to see when he would come, waiting to forgive. He was ready. He was already in the forgive mindset. He didn't have to hear what all he had done, all the sins that he had done and all that. He was ready to do it. But while the king forgave, now here's the thing. We look at this passage here and we think, well, God took it back. God took his forgiveness back. Did God take his forgiveness back? Or did the man never receive it? He never received his free gift of forgiveness. It never registered. The king was very genuine when he forgave it. In the eyes of the law, the guy owed it, and he forgave it. In the eyes of the law, the other guy, his fellow attendant, also owed him money. Was he wrong to want money out of him? It was his heart motive. Legally, he owed the money. But his heart was nowhere near forgiveness. His heart was judgmental, and his heart was, give me the money. And so he was all about
He was greedy.
He was. His heart was not in a forgive mode. So he retained the bad, and he didn't receive the good.
The opposite of what he should have done.
Exactly. The king gave us the good example. The king freely forgave. Then when he's found out what this other guy, what he had done to this other guy, he was like, oh no, I freely forgave you, you contemptible and wicked attendant, because you asked me to, that's all. You asked me to.
You think if nothing else, the guy would have been really good at forgiving.
Yeah. You'd think.
You think he would at least said, you know what, somebody just forgave me, you can take your time and pay this whenever.
Like, exactly, at least that much, yeah. But
if you didn't cancel a debt, even.
But we know people in the world like that. We know people in the world like that they've been given a great thing, and then they turn around and squeeze somebody because they...
But you know what? We're no different then. And if we don't forgive someone, we've already been forgiven all our sins, which is the exact same thing.
The key is...
And if we're not appreciative and we don't forgive other people, we're the ones...
The measure you meet
out.
That's
all of us, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The key is we understand that God is love, but he's also justice. And when we choose to see God's justice in things, that's when we get on the wrong foot.
Right, because
we want to exercise God's justice for him.
Exactly. We want to. We're supposed to look at the fruit. We're not supposed to be the justice giver out. The devil wants us in condemnation. Why?
Because then he's got us.
That's bondage.
Communication
we
with God.
Right.
Confidence when we pray and ask for.
Can we be in forgiveness, walking in forgiveness, and in condemnation at the same time?
No.
And if we're not effective, then other people look at us and they don't want what we have then. So that it just ripples on down.
Yep.
Well, it even goes beyond that, because I was in unforgiveness towards someone once and the Holy Spirit said, I can't hear you. I was trying to pray. I was actually asked to pray about something and I was trying to pray and the Holy Spirit very clearly said, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
And I wrestled with that, but once I forgave that individual, then I knew my prayers were released. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit said, now go call that person up and tell them. And I thought, well, no, you're pushing it. But I did.
Are you sure? Go on.
Yeah,
really?
But I did. And it's the freedom is just awesome. It really is.
I find that it's even something we have to really watch as believers with other believers. Because, you know, when we're saved, we understand that the world is lost, so we don't expect as much from them. But when we're looking at other believers, we expect a lot.
Yeah.
And when we see other believers treat us in a way that they shouldn't be, we feel like we're entitled
yes.
to have that I'm sorry or that, and we
yep.
may not get that with other. I've had to work in my own heart on, you know, sometimes, you know, seeing people act and be like, they shouldn't act that way. It's like, they
yes,
should know better.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should know better. But,
yeah.
but then we get that entitlement thing in us. But we're, how many times have we made mistakes and God's forgiven us and we have to keep that in perspective. And I know that the scripture you looked up, God gave us an extreme example, but we do that subtly in our hearts so easily and don't realize it.
Yeah.
I know some stuff that happened before when Jeff and stuff here. One time I went over there and someone had talked to her that used to go here and said some things to her about, you don't want to go there. And I just looked at Justine and I said, you know what? I said, you are free to go wherever you choose. And I said, but I will tell you. I said, I've had no problems. I said, it's a wonderful place. And I said, but you have to remember the only one perfect is God. Mm. And no matter what church you go to, you're going to see things and you're going to see issues. Because they are still
yep.
people.
Yeah.
And we are still yeah. people working and trying
to get
to get and you know closer to God and to do what we're supposed to. But we're all still going to mess up.
Sure.
I'm like, it's just how it is. You know,
we're on the road. We're on the road.
But now, but to me, the sign of a good church is when you realize that and you come around each other
yeah.
when there's failings
mm-hmm.
instead of going, like, blowing or whatever.
Right.
And that shows growth and that shows what the world wants. They want to belong. They want to know there's a
yeah.
family. That no matter what they do, they can still be there. Whereas the worldly families don't always do that for you.
Right.
That's crucifying the flesh.
Right, right. So bottom line, we're going to close with this, is we need to be quick to forgive.
Then it doesn't have a foothold.
Right, because the longer you let it go, the longer you let it ruminate in there, it does. It's like it develops roots and just, you know, in there. And then you feel like there's no way I can forgive that person. So we need to be quick to forgive now. We need to understand that God is the judge, and he does the judging. So sometimes if that fair thing, that fair card comes up, we just need to give it to him and let him do his thing. We keep our heart right before God. Any questions?